The word of God says in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Welcome to the Blessed Assurance Podcast with Pastor Enrico White, Senior Pastor of Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. In this podcast, you'll receive the word of God with anointed clarity and revelation straight from the throne of grace. Now, let's join Pastor White with the word of God already in progress.
In Jesus' name we pray. Those who love God shout amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 4. Looking again at verse 1. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." I want to use as a thought this morning, fighting temptation. Look at somebody, smile, don't scare them. Just tell them we're going to fight temptation. This morning I've come to share with you, believers in God and body of Christ, I've come to share with you that you were created on purpose. Not only were you created on purpose, but you were created with purpose. And not only were you created on purpose with purpose, but you were created for a purpose. God told Jeremiah, before you were even a thought, before you were even in your mother's womb, I knew you. I sanctified you. I set you apart for a purpose to be a prophet. I need someone to understand that regardless to what someone may have told you, you are not an accident. I need someone to understand that no matter what you grew up to believe, you were not happenstance, but God intentionally created you, made you, placed you here for such a time as this. You were created on purpose. You were created with a purpose, and you were created for a purpose. Now, I need you also to understand that because you are a purpose, a person on purpose, with purpose, and for purpose, that the enemy is going to do all he can to destroy you in your purpose. Can I get a witness in here? That's why he's so busy. Do I have anybody in here who, first of all, recognizes who you are? You do recognize that you are a royal priesthood. Talk to me, somebody. You do recognize that you are a chosen generation. You do recognize that you are a peculiar people who should show forth the praises of God who brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Is there anybody who understands that God has a purpose for my life? Now, I got to say again that because God has a purpose for your life, the enemy is doing all he can to disrupt that purpose that God has for you, in you, and through you. That's why I know someone in here can say, but the attacks seem to be getting worse. The attacks seem to be getting more frequent. The attacks seem to be getting more intense because you are getting closer to that thing, that place, that purpose God has for you. And the closer you get, the more intense the attacks. The closer you get, the more aggressive his antics. The closer you get, but Revelation 12 lets us know that he is getting intense in his attacks because he knows he ain't got but a short while. He ain't got but a short while. The devil ain't got but a short while to mess with you. Somebody ought to give God praise right there. For Jesus here, as we get in this text, let's go with its context, because it doesn't start in Matthew chapter 4. Let's look back at Matthew chapter 3. In the end, Jesus has just been baptized in the River Jordan by John. As he is there, immediately following a baptism, he hears for the first time the audible voice of his father. "This is my son, in whom I'm well pleased." This audible voice of his father immediately after baptism gives affirmation and confirmation of Jesus' purpose and his ministry. And as soon as God gives affirmation and confirmation with his audible voice, when God speaks, "This is my son, in whom I'm well pleased," that's when the devil got busy. Listen. Just when it becomes public knowledge that God's about to release his purpose through your life, that's when the devil gets busy. Just when you begin to acknowledge the affirmation and the confirmation of God in your life, that's when the devil gets busy. Am I talking to anybody in here? Because before you acknowledge God, before you submit it to God, before you surrender to God, the enemy did not care about you, was not trying to mess with you, was not trying to destroy you. But the moment you said, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to thee I freely give, all to thee my blessed Savior I surrender all," do I have a witness up in here that that's when the devil got busy on you? Right when God speaks to you, Satan spanks you. When God fills you, the devil fights you. When God is elevating you, the devil tries eliminating you. It's one of the truths of life that even Jesus himself was not exempt from, that right after his victory came a temptation. After the victory of baptism and the audible voice of his father, then came temptation. But what's interesting about this temptational teasing is the fact that Jesus was led into the spirit, into the wilderness, to be tempted by the devil, but he was led into the wilderness by God. He was led of the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Check this out right here. God led him to the wilderness, knowing that the devil was going to tempt him in the wilderness. And it's interesting, the devil didn't lead him to the wilderness, though he tempted him in the wilderness. It was God. I need somebody to understand that not every wilderness that you find yourself in was intended by the devil. I need you to understand that right there. Because God needed to take you to some things that he can prove you can make it through some things. I got to say that one again. God led you to some things to prove that you can go through some things. And I need two more people to catch this right here. That if God led you to it, God can take you through it. I got to say that one again, that if God led you to it, God will take you through. I don't care what you find while you're in it. I don't care what you face while you're in it. I don't care how hard it is while you're in it. If God took you to it, can I get a witness up in here that God will lead you through it? Interesting that this temptational teasing, being led into the wilderness, he was led not by the devil, he was led by God. Don't get upset with God, because while the devil is trying to devastate you, God is going to use the wilderness to develop you. The devil's plan is to frustrate the plan of God and the place of God in your life. Yet what the devil meant for evil, Help me in here, somebody. What the devil meant for evil, God uses for our good. Somebody tell the Lord thank you. That's why James says in James 1 and 2, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you enter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Tell somebody it's working for your good. Tell somebody else it's working for your good. Tell somebody else it's working for your good. The devil meant it for bad, but God's gonna turn that thing around and work it for your good. Jesus has fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. 40 days, 40 nights. Lord, he was hungry. Come on, y'all get hungry after 40 minutes. After 40 days, Jesus was hungry. His body was weak. But isn't that just like the devil? He attacks during moments of weakness. Come on, come on, come on. The devil don't start tempting you with food until you decide to go on a diet. Y'all ain't praying with me in here. Jesus has fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Fasting is a form of self-discipline. A refraining from the good and necessary substances of life in order to hear God more clearly. Fasting. We don't fast like the old saints fasted. But I also need you to know that when you fast, the purpose of the fast is not to detox your body. The purpose of the fast is not so you can lose and shed a few pounds. But the purpose of the fast is disciplining oneself, refraining from those good and necessary substances of life that you can hear God more clearly. Jesus knew that he was about to enter into his purpose on earth. And before being released to his purpose, he decided, I need to fast. I need to refrain from what I need in order to get what I really need. Y'all gonna catch that in a minute. I need to refrain from what I need that I can hear what I really need. Got to say it one more time for somebody in the back. Jesus says, I've got to refrain from what I need in order that I might hear what I really need. I need to hear from the Lord. And when Jesus had fasted that he might hear from God, that's when the devil came. Now, I got to let you know that that's when the tempter came, but let me remind the people of God that temptation is not a sin. I got to say it again. Temptation is not a sin. Will you say that with me? Temptation is not a sin. That's not the sin. But when we yield to temptation, that's the sin. Looking at it ain't the sin. Seeing it ain't the sin. But when your hands touch what your eyes see, y'all praying with me in here? Brothers, just seeing fine ain't the sin. The brothers didn't back me on that. Let me. Sisters. Just seeing fine ain't the sin. But when you let your fingers do the walking, when you let your hands do the talking, that is the sin. Temptation is just merely an opportunity to sin. Temptation is just an opportunity. But you ain't got to give in to every opportunity that comes your way. Somebody gonna catch up with me in a minute in here. Temptation is merely an opportunity to sin, but God always provides a way of escape. Let me say it again. Temptation is merely an opportunity to sin, but God always provides a way of escape so that we can handle any temptation that comes our way. Am I talking to anybody in here? Because no matter when, where, or how you found yourself tempted, as you look back now beyond your temptation, you'll find that God was already always trying to make a way of escape. Just when you were about to devour, just about when you were about to indulge, just about when you were about to get busy, I'm trying to keep it real in here, the telephone rang. Y'all ain't talking to me in here. That was God providing a way of escape. But some of our crazy behinds, when God was trying to provide a way of escape, you took the ringer off. Just then, fasting 40 days, 40 nights, disciplining himself, refraining from what he needed to hear what he really needed, the tempter came. And the tempter came at Jesus in the same areas in which he comes after us. He comes after us in the form of making us conscious and aware of ourself. Came after. Because I need somebody to understand in here that the devil don't come looking like the devil. He camouflages himself, making himself appear to be your friend. That's why I tell the people of God, you need to be careful with those and whom those you call your friend. I got to reiterate the point that I continuously make. You know who your friends are. Because your friends are going to be your friends no matter what. Can I get a witness? Your friends are going to be your friends when you're up, and your friends are going to be your friends when you're down. A friend is going to be your friend when you have, and a friend is going to be your friend when you have not. Your friend is going to be your friend when you are in who's who, and your friend is going to be your friend when you don't know who. Your friend is going to be your friend when you right, and a real friend is going to give you words of correction when you're wrong. You know who your friends are, but just as you know who your friends are, you know who your enemies are. Your enemies do not like you. Your enemies don't mind you knowing that they don't like you. Is it the way you comb your hair? Is it the stylish clothes you wear? It's just, y'all ain't praying with me up in here. The enemy just does not like you. You come in, the enemy snarls at you. You come in, you can see the enemy. Well, you know who your enemies are. Oh, but there's something else. There's something between your enemy and your friend called the foe. A foe is someone that has the face of a friend, but has the heart of an enemy. A foe is somebody that will smile in your face, tell you I got your back, while got a dagger in their hand and stabbing you. Y'all ain't praying with me in here. A foe is someone with whom you put your trust. A foe is someone with whom you shared your secrets. And the moment that foe has your trust will turn and bite on you. The devil don't always come looking like your enemy. Sometimes the devil comes looking like your friend. That's why David said, "The Lord is my light and my shepherd. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I shall not. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When my enemies and even my foes shall come up against me to eat up my flesh, they're going to stumble, because now I'm on guard, not just for my enemies, but I'm also on guard for those wannabes." Enemy came to Jesus trying to get him to be conscious of self, came trying to give him to be self-satisfied, self-satisfaction and self-accomplishment and self-glorification. Let me prove it right here. He came to Jesus. He wanted Jesus to distrust the providential care of his Father and to serve himself. If you are the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. Self-satisfaction. Be concerned about yourself. He wanted Jesus he wanted Jesus to presume on God's care by putting God to the test. To presume is to take for granted, to assume, or to suppose, which therefore suggests self-accomplishment. The enemy's strategy was to get Jesus to focus the attention on himself instead of on God. He wants Jesus to rationalize, compromise, and to attempt to complete God's purpose the wrong way. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. He'll give his angels charge concerning. I mean, after all, you are the Son of God. Are y'all with me in here? Taking it out of context, Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. But then thirdly, he wanted Jesus to renounce the way of his Father and to substitute it with the way of Satan. That's self-glorification. All this I'll give you if you'll bow down and worship me. When folks start talking about themselves more than they talk about God, that's a sign that the devil's been tempting them. Yeah, when folk are more concerned about their welfare than the welfare, y'all ain't praying with me in here, that's a sign that they've been tempted by the devil. Yeah, when they're more concerned about iPods, iPads, and I myself, that y'all missed that. That's a sign that they've been tempted by the devil. Well, Pastor, how in the world can we then fight this temptation that comes out? Our way is right here in the Word of God. Anybody want to know how to fight temptation? Yeah, I'm glad you want to know, because I'm about to tell you. It's right here. In order to fight temptation, first, you got to fight with the Word. You got to fight with the Word. You got to fight with the Word. When the enemy came to Jesus, my God, tempting him, he caught him when he was hungry, caught him after he had fasted 40 days, caught him in the moment of his fleshly weakness. He said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. Jesus fought temptation. But let me share with somebody in here. When you go fight the devil really don't care what you think. Let me share. When you fight the devil, he really don't care how many prayer partners you got. When you fighting the devil, he does not care about popularity nor Gallup polls. Yeah, but when you fight the devil, you got to fight him with the Word. Anybody in here? Yeah. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In order to fight the devil, you got to fight him with something that was before he was. When you go fight the devil, you got to fight him with something that is, even though he exists. When you go fight the devil, you got to fight him with something that's going to stand even after he is dead and gone. The Word. Somebody shout the Word. The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. hide your word in my heart, oh God, that I might not sin against you. And when the devil start coming at Jesus, Jesus did not call prayer partners. Jesus did not give his opinion, but Jesus looked at the devil and said, it is, y'all praying with me in here, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You want to know why I'm still able to do what I'm doing? It's because God gave me a word. You want to know why some folk are standing in the midst of all they've been through? It's because God gave them a word. You want to know why some folk have been knocked, have been tossed, have been beat down and put down, but yet they keep bouncing back up? It's because God has given them a word. Even when they were in their season of dry bones, God just breathed a word. Not only must you fight temptation with a word, but secondly, you got to fight with your will. When he took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and said, look, you're the Son of God. Won't you cast yourself down? I mean, after all, being the Son of God, he's going to give his angels charge concerning you. They lest you dash your foot. He's going to take care of you. Again, taken out of context, let me share with you. The devil does know the word. And the devil knows when you don't know the word. And when you don't know the word, he'll twist up the word to use that word against you. Are y'all following me in here? That's why you got to know the word for yourself. And listen, I preach the word not for you to hang on only to that word, but I preach just enough for you to take your hind parts back home, that you yourself might dig into the word, that you might have the word for yourself, that when the devil starts messing with you, you ain't got to say my pastor said, but you can tell the devil for yourself, I got a word.
We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired by the Blessed Assurance Podcast with Pastor Enrico White, Senior Pastor of Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. If you are new to the area and or seeking a church home, please feel free to worship with us at Weeping Willow AME Zion Church, located at 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. Our order of services are as follows. Sunday morning worship with the preached word at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study, 12 noon and 6:30 p.m. and every first Sunday Holy Communion. For more information about Weeping Willow, please go online to www.weepingwillowamez.org or call 704-532-9125 or via email at wwillowchurch@aol.com. Finally, if this podcast has encouraged and inspired you, please come visit us at 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. The Word of God says in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
This is Enrico White, pastor of the Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. I'm personally inviting you to join us for the experience. Experience the word. Experience the worship. Experience the witness at Weeping Willow AME Zion Church right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. We have two wonderful worship experiences, 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Come be revived. Come be renewed as lives are being touched, hearts are being transformed. Weeping Willow is located 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, or look for us on the web, weepingwillowamez.org. We'll see you real soon.